Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's so good to be with you this morning. Let's go ahead and go to our first slide. So we're going to, at least in my own heart, take a trip down memory lane as a way to set up what I believe the Lord would have me share with you today. So the picture on the upper left is a place in California on the coast called Laguna Surf Resort. It is in the city of Laguna Beach. And so it's on a bluff. And the stairs that go directly down are the stairs to the beach. So on the right side, you see how close the resort is to the ocean. So that's the sort of the common area patio that looks out directly, and you see the stairs going right down to the beach. So let me tell you about how beautiful this is. I was the resort manager there throughout the 90s. I believe it was 1990 through 99. And as you look out from that bluff onto the ocean, you can see Catalina Island. It's pretty large, and some of the most beautiful sunsets you could ever imagine. And then if you were real fortunate, you would see the pelicans surfing and then diving for fish, skimming the water, diving for fish. It was beautiful. And then you could see dolphins on the water. And if you were real fortunate, you could see the seasons of the gray whales that migrate right past here. You could see the plume. Incredibly beautiful. And it's just, sometimes I still, there was a particular song by this particular artist that I still have in my phone that I listen to it, and it takes me back. Because if someone can't worship God out on that patio when the sun's going down, then they need to be prayed for, because you just are in awe of the glory of God in a place like that. Okay. So in 1993, there was a fire. It was a Laguna Beach fire. But actually, if you see on the upper left, you can see that strip there. That's Laguna Canyon Road. So there's a canyon and there's a road, the main highway, that goes into Laguna Beach. That's Laguna Beach. And that's at the point, it's an aerial photo of that fire in 1993, just before it crossed over Laguna Canyon Road. So it's sometimes, if you look it up on the internet, you probably will find it listed as the Laguna Canyon Fire of 1993. So you can see that it's hard to even find words for what those people, including me, saw when they looked toward the highlands, and that's what they saw. Okay? I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. Excuse me as I go on. Now, here's a little write-up on that. In 1993, the Laguna Canyon Road fire was a destructive wildfire in Orange County, California, that ignited on October 27th. That was a Wednesday, I remember. And it was driven by Santa Ana winds. So in California, of course, the water blows in from the ocean, but seasonally, the wind will shift, and the warm, dry, hot wind will blow in from the desert. And the reason that's so dangerous is because if the land isn't properly watered, if it hasn't rained, and if there's a lot of brush and so on, then all that whole area becomes like kindling wood. It's very, very easily caught fire. So if that happens to catch fire, then you have the problem of it's being blown by hot wind. It's being stoked in a very powerful way. Santa Ana winds, that's what they're called. And that was the case here. The fire, burned 16,000 acres, destroyed hundreds of homes in the Laguna Beach area, and was one of the costliest fires in U.S. history up until that time. Now, I want you to think of that fire and multiply it like times 10. That's what's going on right now in California. To give you an idea what I mean, so on the right is Pacific Palisades, there in the greater Los Angeles metroplex, and you can see the area that's being destroyed by fire. On the left is Altadena, which is nearby, And you see that white square? I don't know if you can see the lettering. That white square has about 538 buildings just in that square. 538. That is a satellite photo at night of the fire. We're doing a sermon today that is an interruption of the sermon series we had begun last week. The sermon series that we're beginning last week is about the seven sign miracles in the Gospel of John. But I feel like the Lord wanted me to speak to this today. So this is a standalone message having to do with what's going on in California. And the name of this message is Beauty for Ashes. Let's pray. Lord, our hearts right now are broken, and we're crying out to you on behalf of all those that are caught in that situation. Lord, and as I believe we'll see here in just a moment, we cannot imagine, Lord, what it's like, some of us here in this place, this beautiful place in Michigan, to come face to face with something like that. And so we pray, Lord, that you would have mercy, that you would mitigate the loss of life, that you would come with your healing rains or healing wisdom or something healing. And we're praying that you would put a stop to this, Lord. There are many accusing, pointing fingers, Lord, but our eyes are on you. So please, Lord, have mercy on those people. Please have mercy on those people, Lord. They need you, Lord. That's kind of the bottom line. We're here and we're saying, please cause eyes that otherwise would not do so to turn towards heaven at this time. And help our eyes to turn towards heaven as we explore this topic today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go back to this real quick. So I'm going to describe to you, as best as I can, what I remember. And the purpose of this is for us to really get hold of the fact that the Bible teaches that life, it says life in a sense is but a vapor. It arises for an instant and is gone. And that it is true that our entire existence can change in the blink of an eye, in a moment. So let me tell you about what happened. So that condominium resort is actually a timeshare condominium. And all the new people come in every Friday to stay in their condominiums. It was probably maybe under three floors, three stories. So around 30 condominiums, something like that. And it was Wednesday. And I was the manager, the resort manager. And I was in charge of the front desk staff, like three people. The housekeepers, maybe six or seven, and the maintenance guy. And the maintenance guy was a great guy. You know, he had been a Navy SEAL, and he had cancer, and he was trying to get a job, and he came to me when I first became a resort manager because we lost our maintenance guy, and he said, listen, nobody will hire me, but if you'll hire me, I'm in remission, and I'm telling you I'll be the best maintenance manager you ever had. And I said, you're hired. And he was. His name was Wayne. What happened was, on this particular day in the afternoon, the housekeeping manager, Ramiro, came up and he said that they were washing the sheets and so on, and when they're folding sheets, the housekeepers like to listen to the Spanish radio station. And there were all these alerts going out that there was this massive fire in Laguna Canyon and it was heading for the coast. And so as he was saying that, the police came in. It was two guys. And they announced, they said, who's in charge? And it's me. And they said, and this was not a suggestion. He said, everybody needs to be out of here in 20 minutes. Now, they actually came back. They said, we're coming back. Actually came back a little more than 20 minutes. They said, you're going to lock this place down completely. We're evacuating this city of Laguna Beach. And so as they were talking, you know, I began to smell the smoke. So at this point, it looked normal, except you can smell the smoke. And so by the grace of God, did some quick thinking. And I said, okay, we have our two-way radios. I called Wayne and Ramiro and Elias and the people who were in charge of the different departments. I said, come up here immediately. They came up. And I said, okay, Wayne, you're going to come with me. We're going to go from top to bottom of the resort to every single room, and we're going to get them out. We're going to explain the situation. Elias, you're going to go down to the beach. You're going to go down to the beach, and you're going to go with the five or six housekeepers, and you're going to spread out, and you're going to get everybody that you know that you know is from here, and you're going to get them up and up the stairs and out. And then I told to the front desk, I said, okay, and I showed them where the main files were for various legal, the property and so on. And I opened the safe, and I said, get this stuff in here and then get out. And people say, well, what about the people down in Main? So people in town. I said, the police are just going to get them out anyway. They're not going to be allowed to come back here. There's no way. He said 20 minutes. So the clock is ticking. So I said, Wayne, you know, I need you to be as big and bad as you can. He was a big guy, because we don't want no arguments about this. So we went upstairs and pounded on the door, and then I used the pass key, and I went in and I said, this is an emergency. It's not a drill. The police have come. They're evacuating Laguna Beach. There's a massive wildfire heading for the city. So everybody got out, but there was one lady from England. She had exchanged from England. It was a timeshare exchange. And she didn't want to leave. And she said, I wish Sid and Liz were here. I would kid him about it. She said, I'm not leaving. She'd been trying for years to exchange into this very highly valued resort exchange right on the beach in Laguna Beach. She said, I'm not leaving. And I said, man, she said, I was in London when the Nazis were bombing us. Bombing us? When the Nazis were bombing us. I didn't leave then, and I'm not going to leave now. I said, ma'am, we're not going to physically carry you out of here, but when the police come up here and we tell them that you're in here, they will come up here, they will restrain you, and they will physically carry you out. So she starts cursing up a blue streak like you never heard, and she grabs her purse, whatever, and she goes out. Okay. So now everybody's coming and everybody's leaving, and they're trying to ask me all these questions, which I can't answer. What about this? What about this? And I said, you have to get in your cars and you have to leave, because it was an underground parking. So everybody's leaving, and I'm going to go one more time up to the top deck. The top deck, the roof of that place was a jacuzzi spa in the middle, and then it spread out as a roof over the resort. So I went up there, and there was somebody up there, and I said, I explained the situation, went down, and I looked out on the city, and what I saw, I'll never forget. You could look down, not just on the ocean if you're facing the ocean, but if you turned around, you looked up towards the highland, and there it was, this red glow, as wide as the horizon. And down on the street, you could see the chaos, but on the sidewalk, people had stopped. They were mesmerized, paralyzed with fright, just staring like deer in the headlights. And the police and the sirens were going off, and they had changed Laguna. So Laguna Can, along the coast is Pacific Coast Highway. And so our resort was looking down in the ocean, stairs, but if you look this way, it's Pacific Coast Highway. And you could see that the police had changed the highway direction so that instead of two-way, it was all going one way, heading south. So the traffic was moving, but it was haltingly moving. And it was all heading south, and you could see the sirens and the fire trucks and so on, and you could go. And so it's heading, going this way, going. People are stunned on the sidewalks and stuff, and there's shouting and just this sense of panic as people move out, and here comes the fire. Now, in that moment, it did not occur to me that I might die, but I started seeing houses. As the fire is coming down. And it did occur to me that we might lose everything. I might lose my job because the resort would be gone. when I got home, home might be gone, everything. That's an extremely sobering realization, and you could see it. And so I made a final once over. Wayne Williard said, okay, you know, we're done. Okay, I said, okay, please get out of here. So he went, and so I had the key to the gate. I made sure that the underground parking was empty. Turned that key, and the gate came down. You know, okay, and so because I had driven my car out just beyond it, got in my car, got in the traffic, and I'm starting to head down. And now it's getting very dark, very very dark, middle of the day. And now instead of the houses being up there. We were driving on Pacific Coast Highway, and you look over, and now there's houses close by catching fire. And it's horrible, horrible. And so where we lived, I had to drive south for a way, and then there's a road that goes inland. So south and then inland. So south towards San Diego and then inland and then to our home. And now Kim can correct my memory, but as I recall, got home, praise God, and they had given the order right at that time that we had to evacuate. And we made the decision real quick. What are we going to take? It was an immediate evacuation. Our family albums, stuff for the kids. So it would have been two girls and one baby, October of 93. Pet stuff. I'm thinking, did we have Toby and Skittles or did we have Nina? Toby, our pet stuff. And then I think we took the 1993 file box with our like taxes and my guitar. And that was it. So that's being loaded in our vehicle. And we're getting ready to go. And they changed their mind. They said, okay, the wind has shifted. The wind has shifted. So hold up on the evacuation. So then I get a phone call. And it's my assistant manager. So go to the next. Okay. I'm about to explain that to you. So my assistant manager calls, says, hey, listen, Tony. So one of our housekeepers was a male housekeeper, Hispanic. And he said, Tony has an idea, and I think it's worth going with. I said, what? So Tony had said to him, look, Tony said, I can walk, it'll take me an hour, but I can walk back to the resort because they weren't letting any cars in and so on. I can walk back to the resort and I think I can save the building because all the houses and all the buildings are catching fire from ashes falling from the sky on the roofs. He says, I think I can save the building if I get there in time. I said, okay, how? He said his plan, Tony, this housekeeper, his plan, he's going to walk back there, and if I will give the code to the, which the fire department also has, to get the key to open that downstairs garage to get into the resort, Tony said, I can go to where we keep all of the hoses, link them all together, turn them on, and make my way up to the stairs that lead to the roof jacuzzi. And then I can continually spray down the roof of the resort without stopping. And so when the burning ashes start coming down, they won't catch the building on fire. So I had a decision to make. Am I going to give the code to get into the resort to this young man? So, you know, by the grace of God, when I had first become a manager there, God gave me wisdom that when someone was sick and the housekeepers had to do more rooms than they could do, I would say to the front desk, take over. I rolled up my sleeves and I went and became a housekeeper and I would go clean the toilets. And I had done that for 2-3 years every once in a while, maybe 2-3 times a year I had to do that. And they saw that. And so I had the sense that they respected me because I respected their role. That doesn't make me a hero, but in those moments, you get to know people. You get to talk to them, and I get talk to them about my Mexican mother and make jokes and all this stuff. And I would hang out once in a while with the housekeepers, as I did with talking about Wayne Williard when his time in Vietnam and all the stuff he had to go through, and with the front desk. And I was trying to have, you know, I'm listening to this book about leadership, and I'm thinking, gosh, I remember having to do that, and actually I kind of know how to do that. What the book was trying to say was leadership is influence beginning to end. That's all it is. It's influence. And you get influenced by the way that people either trust you or they don't. And so this young man is saying, will you trust me? And it seemed like the Lord was saying, give him the code. So I gave the code to my assistant manager. So now he has it. And he gave it to Tony. Tony walked back, ran back to the resort. He hooked up all of the hoses, went up there, and for 3 hours, he later described, he hosed down the roof and he could see the burning ashes coming down and going out. Now, he said he was up there for 3 hours and that the ashes started, they stopped maybe an hour into that situation, probably the same shift in the wind that had happened that had kept us from having to evacuate our home. But he didn't let that stop him. He kept it going for 3 hours into the night. And by now, the airborne, the copters and so on were picking up water from the... By the way, in those days, that's what they did. They took the ocean water and they started spraying it, and that's how they were able to contain that fire. You can't do that now. Because the ocean water is salt water. How many of you have heard this? And so the environmental concern is saying, well, salt water is not good for plants. And so you can't dump salt water on the plants. Well, how about fire? Is fire good for plants? Exactly. It was just so crazy. But how they contained that fire was mainly by the, not just because the fire trucks were overwhelmed. They couldn't, you know, and you could see it. There was a lot of them, but come on. So they would scoop up the water, the copters and so on would come and scoop up the water, and they were spraying it all over that, and that's how they contained that fire. But it still burned 16,000 acres, hundreds of homes. But in those days, the insurance was covering the homes. What happened more recently in California was that they kept making higher the premiums because they said, look, you're not clearing the brush, and you're not filling up the reservoirs. And so if we insure you for a fire, we're going to go bankrupt. So we're going to keep raising the rates. So California, the state, finally said, no, you can't raise the rates anymore. Here's the cap. Here's the ceiling. And the insurance companies threw up their hands, and then they said, just before these fires, you know, we're canceling a whole bunch of policies. So what we saw for a couple of years, we saw all those houses being rebuilt. And they were rebuilt because they were all paid for. But what happened, more importantly, so you know what that is? That's an award from an organization called Resort Condominiums International. It's an international timeshare organization. And every year they give out awards called Resort of International Distinction. So that year we got the RCI Resort of International Distinction Award, us and some others around the world. We got it because of what I just explained to you. And Tony got some awards from our company and from them and so on, and they had to go, him and I sent Wayne Williard also, to a big convention somewhere, I forget whether it was Las Vegas or someplace, where the RCI organization had a big to-do, big gala, and part of it was the giving of these awards, and they're the ones that went and accepted the award. I said, you know, I'm not going, you guys go, you guys deserve it. You do it. So they went and accepted the award, and it was hanging in the resort, probably still hanging in the resort. And so beyond that, from that day forward, there was a camaraderie between me and the staff that there had not been previously. Because I knew that looking back when they're older, upon their days working at Laguna Surf Resort, they would have said that was our finest hour, to quote Churchill. That was our finest hour. And it was something that was so life-giving because there were places on the beach that burned down and a lot of houses, but there we were, still standing. It was something that no one could ever take away from them, ever. You know, 6-7 housekeepers, Hispanic housekeepers. Wayne Williard, the Navy SEAL that came back and he's fighting cancer, you know, in the front desk. I think her name was Belinda and so on. She was pregnant at the time, I believe. Calming the resort owners that would come in and you know, I would tell everybody, just be calm, act calm, and don't let anybody get upset. And so it was like God took that situation and he worked it to our advantage, to my advantage. And that's the first scripture I want to go to. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. It's actually after the part about saying that you don't know how to pray as you should, but pray in the Holy Spirit of God, and then God will tell you how to pray. He'll direct you how to pray, and then we know that all things work together for good to those that serve God who are called according to his purpose. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't believe God sent the fires on Los Angeles. I believe that California as a whole, turning their backs on God for years, and metaphorically speaking, spitting in his eye by horrible sexual practices and things having to do with, you know, I'm God and you're not, looking at God and pretending that human beings can be God, was probably not a good idea. When you're in a pinch and you're needing the hand of God to protect you, and you've basically told him to get lost, it's not a good idea. That's not the same as God sending it. But you can't point to a worse biblical plague. This is horrible. Have any been watching the... And folks, I'll tell you this. That's the sight of those fires. You saw how big those fires were. I showed you the picture. Okay, to me, it was horrifying. I cannot even begin to imagine 10 times worse, because what you got now is 10 of those. About 10 or something. 68,000, so I kind of did the math. So you got 10 of those fires happening right now, around 10. So this is yesterday. Anybody ever hear of a fire NATO? Okay. You know what a fire NATO is? When you got a wildfire, and because of the wind current, I guess the cool air trying to get in, and you've got the wind, Santa Ana winds going this way, you have a vortex. So if you got a fire, then it's going to start spiraling, and there it is. That's a city, and that's a fire NATO, and it's on the news. You know, and they say that it whips around over 180 miles an hour wind in the storm, in the fire NATO. That is hell. You're in your city and your home is going up in flames and everything, you know, all your memories, everything, and you have to leave. The thing that I was afraid of would happen with us, which praise God it didn't happen. And then suddenly you see one of those things. Well, here's the other side of that. This is an article about this guy, Adam Carolla. He actually, he's one of the, so the two top podcasts right now is Joe Rogan and Adam Carolla. So he's a comedian and actor, started his own podcast. And so he's making this statement that people are picking up on. He explains how the California fires will change the politics of the state. He says, this is going to do it, folks. All the wokeism, all the liberalism is going to be dead. There's going to be a turning back to God. And there's going to be a total change because they're going to see that all of the liberalism, you know, and with all due respect to any of you who might be of a liberal persuasion, there are things that the Bible says that California for years has staunchly and fiercely objected to, having to do with sexual identity and things about, you know, we're not going to manage the forest because it's almost like worshiping nature. We're not going to clear the brush. There's a little fish that's in danger, so we're not going to fill the reservoirs. So the fire hydrants don't have any water in them. And I just read today that, well, no one has seen that fish for like 10 years anyway. Did you know that? And so they're empty. And so there's 117 million, I guess, gallons in the one reservoir near Pacific Palisades, and it was pretty much near empty, and there's no water to put out the fires. Oh, that's right. Thank you for that. They also had cut the fire funding. And professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. That's the way the Bible puts it. And so this is how we need to pray, not just for the people, but for this to happen, that this will cause that the fires of, you know, the Pacific Palisade fire, or whatever it's going to end up being called, of 2025, will turn into the revival of 2025. Because people, many of them movie stars and very, very rich people, that whole area is very, very, very expensive. In Laguna Beach, those houses were million-dollar houses, and they went up like that. They were gone. I wish I could communicate to you what it's like to be driving, stop and go, looking up and just seeing a house go, beautiful house. Where it's like, it's kind of glowing on the inside and all of a sudden, it's that moment that we all need in our lives where, hopefully not this way, but we realize, you know what? This is the Bible says, life is but a whisper. You know, just one life so quickly passed, just what's done for Christ will last. That's the saying. That we have to live for God. We have to live for Jesus Christ. Because our lives could be taken away or at the very least changed forever in a moment of time. And we just don't even know. I was driving down the highway, stop and go, trying to get out of there. People are panicking, honking their horns and so on. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, my eyes are on you. I've got to pray. I've got to hold on to you because that's what goes through your mind. It's all going to be gone. Please help us get out of this alive. You're watching it. I'm going to say, if between me and the house, there's a house probably across the street that way, that's how close the houses were going up in flames, between where I'm standing and like that house over there. Here's what I believe the Lord, the scripture that God gave me. And you can pray this along with me, that this is God's desire and this is God's plan going forward as we watch the news. Because unfortunately, it's not over. They don't have the water. They don't have the manpower. And I believe it's only, what, 8% contained? Anybody correct me on that?
Yeah, I think 8%.
8%. Yeah, I don't believe there's, even now, I don't believe they're using the ocean water. I believe they went to a further reservoir further north and getting water from that. But somebody's got to wake up and change that. So here's the scripture I believe the Lord gave me. And please, this is what he says. Behold, I'm going to do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Next, I will appoint unto those who mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, that's actually oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't waste another day. Don't wait till something like this happens in your life or something equivalent where you're at the end of yourself and you say, I got to turn back to God. Don't wait for that. Come to him now. Just do what I did years ago. Just pray this prayer. If you mean it, you will be saved for eternity. And your life will come under His protection and His guidance, no matter what happens. There are many Christians in California that I've already heard saying, you know what? Whether my house stays or goes, God's going to use me now more than ever before. So just if that's you, and this is resonating with you, then just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe You came to earth. You died for our sins, and the blood You shed on the cross was payment for my sins, past, present, and future. I turn away from sin. I turn away from wrong thinking about all of these very, very, quote, liberal kinds of ideas. I realize that You are God. You are God. And I am not. So come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I believe You rose from death on the third day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Give Your eternal life to me. Live Your life through me. And I will do the best I can to live for You and serve You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.